I've got Jill Hurd helping me here this morning, so we'll try and do a shuffle up when it comes to our different bits. And it's lovely to be together for this Sunday before Lent. Praise the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. Lord, open our lips, and we shall praise your name. People of God, look up. Believe that you will encounter God this morning. Be open to God, revealing something of himself and changing the way we see the world. We say together, Almighty God, we ask you to show us something more of who you are and how awesome your presence is. Overcome our fear of the unknown and lead us into a new experience of you. May our worship today be as on a mountaintop, a transforming encounter that empowers our love and understanding of you. Amen. The Lord, the Mighty One, summons his faithful people to approach. Come, let us see his radiance, allowing the light of his glory to shine upon and within us as we offer our worship and praise. God of glory, open our eyes and open our hearts. Help us to see Jesus. God of glory, change us and renew us by your Spirit. Make us more like Jesus. Amen. And the collect for the first Sunday before Lent. Almighty Father, whose Son was revealed in majesty before he suffered death upon the cross, give us grace to perceive his glory, that we may be strengthened to suffer with him and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we turn now to the song of the three, our canticle this morning. Bless the Lord, all you works of the Lord. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. Bless the Lord, you heavens. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. Bless the Lord, you angels of the Lord. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. Bless the Lord, all people on earth. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. O people of God, bless the Lord. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. Bless the Lord, you priests of the Lord. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. Bless the Lord, you servants of the Lord. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. Bless the Lord, all you of upright spirit. Bless the Lord, you that are holy and humble in heart. Bless the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sing his praise and exalt him forever.
The first reading is taken from the second letter from Peter, chapter 1, beginning at verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place, till the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
Okay. The Lord is King. Let the people tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim. Let the earth shake. The Lord is great in Zion and high above all peoples. Let them praise your name, which is great and awesome. The Lord our God is holy, mighty King who loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God. Bow down before his footstool, for he is holy. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among those who call upon his name, they called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them out of the pillar of cloud. They kept his testimonies and the law he gave. You are the Lord our God. You are a God who forgave them and pardoned them for their offenses. Exalt the Lord our God and worship him upon his holy hill. For the Lord our God is holy. Lord God, mighty King, you love justice and establish equity. May we love justice more than gain and mercy more than power. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and shall be forever. Amen.
The second reading is taken from Matthew 17, beginning at verse 1. The Transfiguration. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Sorry, I'm stealing the show.
Jill was just about to do a sermon. I hope I didn't disappear. Anyway, waking up each day is a funny thing, really. We wake up and we never know exactly what the day will hold. We think we know. We have diaries and planners and calendars, but we don't actually know what will happen. Most days go much as we planned, but some contain unexpected surprises. Good news from a friend, an opportunity offered, a new plan for the future, or the loss of someone we love, disappointments and fears and anxiety. We really don't know what each day holds, and some days change us forever. I remember preparing some Holy Week meditations in 2016. I was sitting at one end of the table. In fact, I think it was 2017, not 2016. I was sitting at one end of the table and Robert was sitting at the other. He flicked through his diary and made some sort of comment, and I looked up. "I think October would be a good time," he said. "What for?" I asked. "To go on honeymoon," he replied. I guessed he was asking me to marry him. It was one of those days that changed my life for the better. And I know that we all have days like that. We go to bed that night and think, golly, I never knew that was going to happen. I wonder what will happen next. It's all about change. And sometimes that change is what we wanted, and sometimes it isn't. But one thing's for sure, change always comes with consequences, challenges, and questions. Our gospel passage today describes what must have been one of those days. It's the story of the Transfiguration, and it appears in all three synoptic gospels, so it must be important. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up a mountain. Once up there, they see a vision of Jesus's heavenly glory. His appearance changes. He is transformed. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. It is important at this point to place this incident within the context. Immediately before Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up the mountain, he tells them and the other disciples that he must suffer and die, and that he will come back to life on the third day. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem, and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead. Jesus repeats this to his disciples when he comes down from the mountain as well. He is preparing his disciples for all the changes that lie ahead. What happens on the mountaintop is part of that transition for change. And it's probably why the story of the Transfiguration comes each year as we move from Epiphany into Lent. This is a story of transition and change. To make sense of the story of the Transfiguration, we need to look back to the Old Testament and remember that Matthew is writing for a Jewish audience who knew the Old Testament scriptures. He begins the description of what happened by saying, after 6 days, Jesus led them up a high mountain. Matthew wants to grab his audience's attention. Are you listening? Exactly 6 days after Jesus predicted his own suffering and death, he goes up a mountain and displays his power and his glory. 6 days would have reminded Matthew's Jewish readers of Moses' awe-inspiring meeting with God. The mountain imagery points to what is going to happen, an overwhelming encounter with the living God. Matthew paints a picture describing brilliant light. Jesus shows his glory in a unique way. Matthew records, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them. Something similar happened to Moses. And when Moses stepped down from the mountain, his face shone with the glory of God. I have known people who walk so closely with God that you can see it in their faces. You can see it in their worship and hear it in their prayers. And the reason Moses' face shone was that he had been in the presence of God. He reflected God's glory. But Jesus' glory is not reflected. Jesus shone with glory because he is God. He is in union with the Father and the Spirit, and he is the source of true glory. No one could come away from such an experience without being changed. To be in the presence of the glory of God changes us forever. Of course, this begs some questions. Do we expect to come into the presence of God as we worship this morning. The Lord is here, I say in church most weeks. His Spirit is with us. Are those just words, or do we mean it? Do we expect the presence of God to overwhelm us, to change us, and to transform us? The display of Jesus' glory carried huge significance for those first followers of Jesus and for us too. Firstly, it causes us to focus all our attention on Jesus, only Jesus. As Peter rushed about wanting to do something, like build three shelters, the voice of God breaks in. "This is my dearly beloved son, who brings me great joy. Listen to him." When the cloud disappears along with Moses and Elijah, Matthew tells us that the disciples have no option but to focus all their attention on Jesus. They saw no one except Jesus, it says in verse 8. There are so many voices crying out for our attention, but the story of the Transfiguration teaches us that there is only one voice worth listening to. It is the voice of the living God. It is the voice of Jesus. Do we want to hear that voice? Do we spend time investing, waiting, and listening? Are we aware of what God is saying and doing? We're having a retreat on the 25th of March at Mill House. You would all be very welcome to join us if you want to spend a day away being quiet. The question is, does Jesus control the way we think and act and speak and worship? Is what we do all about me, or is it all about him? Jesus is always speaking a word larger and more powerful than all the other voices that surround us. Jesus speaks words of life, words of hope, words of beauty, love, mercy, and forgiveness. He speaks words of change, of movement, of renewal, of making everything new. Jesus speaks to you and he speaks to me. Do we know his voice? "My sheep know my voice," Jesus said. Do we? And are we listening? Secondly, Jesus tells his disciples to get up. Not surprisingly, when the disciples heard the voice of God, they fell to the ground, overcome with fear. Jesus touches them and says, "Get up." Actually, a more literal translation would be raised up. Come back to life, be resurrected. It's the same word that Jesus uses when he tells the paralyzed man to stand up. It's the same word used when Jesus brings Jairus's daughter back to life from death. And it's the same word the angels use when the women come to the empty tomb. He's not here, he has been raised up. With Jesus, there is always the promise of new life. He calls us to get up and he calls us to be resurrection people. We are people who have been called to live with the hope of glory in our hearts. Do you know the hope of glory? I do hope so. Let the hope of glory grow in you. Thirdly, Jesus says, don't be afraid. There are so many things to fear, especially at the moment. As I have said many times before, do not be afraid is the most common commandment in the whole Bible. Do not be afraid. Jesus speaks to us. He speaks to the heart of the human condition. Of course, hearing those words do not magically take away our fear, but they give us the assurance that fear and hopelessness do not have the final word. Jesus Christ does. So today we are encouraged to listen to Jesus, to be raised by Jesus, and to give our fears to Jesus. We are called to let God draw near, to see his glory, and to allow God's glory to change us. Amen.
Shall we pray? In the darkness of the disaster unfolding in Turkey and Syria, we pray for everyone trying to bring some relief to the suffering. Help those who are involved in the ongoing rescue and recovery effort. Give them the resilience and patience they need to keep going. We pray for the medical teams arriving to tend the wounded, and for the religious leaders who are burying the dead. We particularly pray for the politics and tensions around the access to the earthquake sites in Syria. May the decision makers and gatekeepers prioritize the humanitarian needs above everything else and allow help into the country.
Draw close to them, we pray.
Many of us watched the riot scenes outside the hotel housing asylum seekers in Liverpool last week with horror. In the pages of the Bible, we see a God who cares for the stranger, is concerned for the outcast, and was himself, as a baby with his young mother and father, forced to flee to another country. Help us to show compassion and kindness to people who have left their country and sought refuge elsewhere. Draw close to them, we pray. As the children head back to school for the spring term, we ask that they feel refreshed and ready to learn. For the students heading towards exams, give them the energy for this last push. Among all of the upheaval and uncertainty with the strikes and pay disputes, may the teaching staff still be able to concentrate on the day-to-day business of teaching and see the many differences they are making to the lives of our young people.
Draw close to them, we pray.
We listen to the story of the Transfiguration and think about the vision Peter, James, and John witnessed. We ask that we may see you clearly, perhaps not in a vision on a mountaintop, but in the everyday stuff of our lives, in our daily coming and going, in our work and rest, in the people we encounter when we shop at the school gates or at the gym. Help us to see a renewed vision of you in the world we inhabit, however big or small that is. This morning, we pray for those who are unwell. We remember Jack, Brenda, Olivia, Cynthia, Jackie, Mary, Tony, Donald, Diana, Roman, Ruth, Mike, Bob, Keith, Janice, Georgie, Reg, and Joy. And we remember the family and the friends of those who have recently died. We especially remember today Edith Murphy, Mary Seaton, and Nigel Benn. In our everyday encounters, help us to feel close to you. Amen. And as our Saviour has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
May Christ, who makes saints of sinners, who has transformed those we remember today, raise and strengthen you, that you may transform the world. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, remain with you and those you love and pray for, today and always. Amen. Amen. And we say together, Father, thank you that you are transforming us every day. We pray that not only will we have mountaintop experiences, but also that we will know your presence with us in our everyday and ordinary moments. May we be continually astounded at your greatness, and may it show in our lives. Amen. Thank you, Jill. Thank you for that. We had an interesting time, didn't we? Talk about not knowing what the day is going to hold. I think that was prophetic. Anyway, thank you for putting up with it. And we'll see you next week. Have a good week. If anybody would like to come on the day retreat, you'd all be very welcome. Just give me a ring. I'll get Jill to say something.
St. Peter's, I mentioned it this morning.
Lunch is provided, and we can provide transport. It's from about 10, I think, half 10 till 3:30, something like that. Yeah. Okay, have Thank a good you. Week. Love to you all. God bless.
Thank you so much. Bye. Bye. Thank you. Have a good week, everyone.
Yeah, good week. Yeah. Bye-bye.